Once again, here's your host, Deb Colletti.
Hi, guys. Here with me this week is someone I've had on the show before because I'm thinking she's becoming a resident expert on happiness and lifestyle issues that we talk a lot about. This week, we are talking about happiness. And I love Beverly. Welcome, Beverly, to the show. Beverly Golden.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Happy.
You have an observational way of looking at life. And you also find humor in all situations. And we're talking about happiness. You wrote a piece recently about smiling, the power of smiling.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And I think it was very personal to me because as a young child, I apparently didn't smile at all. And people would wonder, what is wrong with her? She has so much to be happy, quotes, about.
Right.
Why isn't she smiling? So it's been a really constant theme for me. And now I walk around literally smiling all the time. And, you know, I'm extremely happy and joyful in my life right now.
Isn't that a nice thing?
So it's a great topic. And I was just telling, I think, or mentioning that the smile article, for interest's sake, had so much interaction. It's really a topic that people are keen on, and I think they relate to it, whether they walk around smiling or not, because I'm sure I don't find people walk around smiling consciously that much.
Yeah, right.
And that's also an interesting study.
Mm-hmm. And it is contagious, you know, like happiness. When you catch somebody doing something right, they go, wow, I was seen and heard and appreciated. A smile is like giving someone a receipt saying, I see you.
And I think that's absolutely true, and it has the ability to change somebody's mood, attitude in a mm-hmm. second. It is a universal language in a way, like music.
Yeah,
I've heard that, you know, it's recognized everywhere if it's sincere. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's a really important issue too. It has to be sincere.
Yeah,
and it stimulates our brain's reward mechanisms. And I think you know this, like chocolate's a big one for women, but you'd need to eat, ladies, 2,000 chocolate bars to get the same level of brain stimulation as one smile.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, and how about that, chocolate lovers? We can still have chocolate, but smile too, and it'll get 2,000 more percent effect. I like it.
I'd volunteer for that
study. I don't like chocolate, so I'm so happy.
I love
smiling.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
I volunteer to eat 200.
2,000.
Maybe
it changes
not.
The whole mood of a room. I mean, actually, Wes Talbot is very good at this. He'll come into the production room, the studio, and he'll kind of slide in like Kramer, and he'll have this big smile on his face like a full moon. I go, all right, I'm in a better mood already. You know, it really does. A good director, a good producer can do that. Or human for each other. It's a very cool
thing. And I think that if you walk around and observe, you mm-hmm. will see that people don't smile just because. And I'm not sure why. And I think this idea of happiness is people are looking for something out there. And
yeah.
I think just by flipping their own switch, we'll say, and putting a smile on their face, it actually changes the way you feel, and then it influences people around you. So I think it's a precursor, or maybe it's a parallel to happiness.
Right, right. It is.
Yeah.
And the happiness isn't love, who being in love or someone loving you or success or your job. It's something we were talking about that earlier with Sean Acor, who's done all this research on it and so on, which is why you are a great counterpart to that. And it's really, although you bring up a good point, you say happiness comes from things outside. He says it's about how we process what happens outside. You know what I mean? So it kind of blends both the outside and how we decide to filter it.
Yeah, and I think it still comes back to this personal individual taking responsibility, because mm-hmm. a lot of people associate happiness with an external event or an external circumstance will make me happy. Mm-hmm. And of course, that never works.
Yeah.
Maybe temporarily. It's very temporary then.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a woe be me, the other side of it, people that only see the bad things and are frowning all day and so on. You get what you are what you say, you are what you think is a theory I believe in.
Well, you know, and I saw an interesting talk on, if I can say, TED.com about smiling, and this
mm-hmm.
man. So what was the precursor to this is he realized he was doing long-distance running, and he noticed the expression on everybody's face when he, you know, from running, and
mm-hmm.
he was also in a grimace. And if you notice people exercising, they're often, their faces are tight and grimace. And my friend Neilan, who also lost a lot of weight, found when you smile when you're exercising, it becomes almost effortless, and the results increase dramatically. And I think Sean talks about that too.
Yeah.
If you go in with the happiness, with the smile, it actually leads to positive results much more readily and more easily. So that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, doesn't it create
if you know that going in, yeah.
Doesn't it physically create something in your brain? I mean, or chemically, it actually
endorphins,
induces something,
yeah.
Yes?
It's the endorphin word.
Ah,
yeah, it increases your energy. It reduces your stress. I think Sean also talks about boosting your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
These are the same endorphins. Like, you know, so smiling does this, exercise does this, sex does this. The mighty trio.
Yay, and all roads lead back to sex.
I like that picture. I think. I don't know.
I love it. No, it really is true. And I love when you cite in your piece that when you go to the gym, if you smile, I just have to say that I was known for being a smiling runner in my neighborhood. My neighbors would say, I've never seen anybody smile when they run. What's up with you?
They just thought you were nuts.
Cuckoo.
Yeah. Well,
but if you smile, it's easier. Yeah.
Well, it is easier. And the thing is, we're so not used to, that's probably a double negative, but we're not used to seeing people smile for
yeah,
no reason. It's
that's
like,
what they were pointing
wrong?
Out.
And yeah. And I mean, so it's interesting because also the research shows that this is part of it, that 30% of us actually do smile at least 20 times a day or more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. But it's kids. They smile
yeah,
400
children,
times a day.
Naturally.
Wow. What was that again?
400?
400, an average of 400 times a day, which means some of them might even be smiling more. So it's like, what are we losing, you
yeah.
know, as we get older?
What is getting squished out of us by school and teaching and education and life and
bills.
Getting bills? Yeah. Yeah.
But we have the choice, right, to go
yeah.
back. We're actually born smiling. I mean, there is research that shows that in ultrasounds of developing babies,
I love that.
The
yeah.
fetuses are smiling.
And how many times a newborn smile at you, you think it's they have gas, but you know what? They're smiling.
No, they can smile. They really
I know.
Can, as early as 4 weeks, apparently. Yeah.
Wow.
No.
And you know there's lots of studies that they've gone way, way back to even the 50s, and they followed people who were smiling in their yearbook pictures, and they see that the people who were smiling in their yearbook pictures overall are more successful people in life.
Isn't that crazy?
So it does start early, but we can flip it at any point in time.
And give us the baseball card one. Wes will like this one. Baseball
wait,
card.
We can flip what at any given time? What do you mean?
We can flip our decision, right, to actually
right.
return to that place. I mean, if we have that as children, we don't lose it. We just suppress it.
Yeah,
yes?
Exactly.
Maybe? Question? I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did the study of, I'm sure all these sports fans out there, they did the 2010, so it's a recent study, and they looked at baseball players in the 50s and, the Major League Baseball cards, and they found the players that had really big smiles on their faces lived an average of 79.9 years. The guys who didn't smile only lived 72.9. So that's a 7-year difference.
It's just the baseball smile factor.
By smiling on the baseball card. I don't know.
I'm buying
so
it.
Imagine.
I'm buying
it's
it.
Amazing.
George Burns, did he smile a lot? I don't know. Maybe
it would be a baseball geek that would try to do that study. Do you know what I mean? That knows the hits and runs
it
of
wasn't
every...
me.
No one knows.
That's what I'm saying.
But that you found it, Beverly. This is where you dig into your information.
You know what? I think that it's really key to point out that we have the choice, I guess,
yeah.
to do this, right?
And that's
it's
what,
not something.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what Sean goes into, and that we have strategies that we can actually do each day. And he's got a book on it, The Happiness Advantage. And they're, yeah, like The Happiness Project, Gretchen Rubin, I really like her book, and I went and saw her speak and all of that. But that's where people are hungry for happiness these days, and that really is the bottom line. The smarter we are, the more iPhones we have and internet and all this stuff, it's not making us happier, you know, which is a...
And I think, you know, when I'm listening to you say that, what just came to my mind is that smile is a connection. It gives us a human connection. You know, or if we're watching TV and we see someone smile, it has an effect on us. And it makes you look younger. So we'll get into that issue for
that's
everyone
right.
out there.
We're
you,
using
it
more
makes
muscles.
You, look younger.
You sound particularly happy today.
Yeah, why are you so
Beverly?
Happy, Beverly?
Anything you want to tell us?
I've been doing, I guess, mostly everything I write has to do with this issue, you
yeah.
know, and I've been working on a piece about relationships. I'm working on a book about golf. I don't play golf, so I'm really happy.
Glad to hear that.
But I'm working with a man who does play golf, and it's interesting because he's very joyful all the time.
Mm.
So we have this conversation about can you stay in this state of happiness, of joy, which comes from the heart? Mm-hmm. I mentioned to Deb, I read something that said, joy is an attitude of the heart, which is monumentally beautiful to me. I mean, that's incredible.
Yep, attitude
and
of the
heart. And, of course, as humans, we have to, and I think Sean says this too, we have to experience both sides. So it's not about being happy every single minute. It's about raising the baseline, right, of how we walk in the world, of like how we present in the world, of how we interact in the world. And this is a very interesting topic to me because it seems to be getting more difficult, and yet we have this simple tool. It really is so simple just to smile.
It's all within us, and that's what we try to get across and try to... Yeah, you're teaching me things here today, and we're playing it back, and you're a great living example and a sample of... Because you're focusing on it, you're happier. There you are. Your evidence here.
Well, and I think it is about being open to it, because literally I spent so many years being unhealthy. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to be happy when you're in pain and mm-hmm. unhealthy. Yet, this whole aging, I mean, I think one of the things Sean in the research showed that the people who are happier throughout their lives lived longer. And I have a mother who's 95, and I wrote she's basically been happy her whole life.
Right.
Does she have a baseball card?
She loves baseball. She yells at the TV.
I love it. Good. Thanks, Talbot.
You know, we all have our own experiences of people who appear to be happy and the benefits this has in their individual lives and then how this reflects back on us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I have a happy mother, and yet I was not a happy child. Go figure, right?
Yeah, well.
But you trained yourself somehow.
You think you were aware you weren't a happy child? I mean that sincerely. We're getting into a giggle fest here, but were you aware you weren't a happy child? Or is this something people have told you?
Well, you know, there were circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you read my Smile Power article, that's how I opened the article.
Yeah.
And people wondered what was wrong with me because I didn't smile. And then again, you know, the whole issue with smiling, I had buck teeth.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I got a really creepy nickname called Bucky Beaver.
Oh.
So, you know, like there's these associations that somehow I have flipped this at this point in my life, and I'm just joyful and happy. I ended up without braces with a great smile.
Yeah, killer smile, I hear. Yeah.
I'm hoping that, you know, regardless, anybody smiling at anybody else has mm-hmm. a positive effect.
I think that's true.
Right?
I absolutely think that's
and
true.
And I love how you finish your article with the, you know, Louis Armstrong. I mean, I can't sing it because I'll have to pay royalties, but when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
That's actually a Charlie Chaplin song.
Is it? No, shucks.
It is.
He wrote it. Yeah.
He wrote it?
Charlie Chaplin wrote
it. Yeah,
Louis
Charlie
sang
wrote
it.
And Louis Armstrong sang it, yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
And it's so true. And I mean, it's just so simple. And I wonder if we have to take a step back from all our complicated technology and look at the simple things we have the choice to do, and take the responsibility to do it. And what I'm finding now. There's so many simple things we can do every day. And we sometimes don't even know the impact we're having. We could walk by a stranger and smile at them, and that could change that person's day.
It totally does. And on that note, we're going to have to take a break because we can go forever. I love your energy and I love this subject.
Thank you.
We're happier now that you've been here, Beverly.
Yeah, Beverly.
Oh, I'm smiling at my end. I hope you can feel that.
Check out BeverlyGolden.com. She's also working on a book, Confessions of a Middle-Aged Hippie. I don't think I've ever mentioned that before. And our resident observational thinker and writer. So thank you so much, Beverly Golden. We're going to take a break.
Keep smiling.
We'll take a break and be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Deb Coletti Show. We'll be right back after these messages.